Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch for Wednesday. I am Brett Winterbull, in for Greg Corumbus at Radio America, joined by National Review Online's Jim Garrity. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good to be here, Brett.
It's good to be here as well. Here we are in the middle of the week, a big news week, a lot of stuff going on. Let's get going with the very good martini. Jake Tapper, apparently as straightforward as we think he is, in an interview with Laura Ingraham, he said the media is failing the country. We've also got Mark Halperin talking about them, the media being in the tank.
I think the press still likes this story a lot. The media is very susceptible to doing what the Obama campaign wants, which is to focus on this.
A moment of clarity, a moment of truth. What's up here, Jim?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing here is a couple of trends accelerate. And it's worth noting that, look, we're still going to see stories between now and November that folks like you and I think are unfair to the Romney-Ryan ticket, that are demonizing Republicans, et cetera, et cetera. But the mainstream media is not one Borg-like entity. It's got a couple of different voices, different, you know, factions, you might say. Halperin was just kind of, it's interesting to see how matter-of-factly he observes that the media does what the Obama campaign wants. And he was talking about this in the context of Romney's tax returns. Now, Brett, unemployment is 8.3%. Mm-hmm. They're adding another trillion to the debt right now. Medicare is still on its, you know, the entitlement program still needs to be reformed. The housing markets have barely recovered in most places. Personal household income, by all kinds of economic measures, we're in a really deep, deep doo-doo, as former President Bush would say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Obama campaign wants to make this election about Romney's tax returns and Seamus on the roof and dressage and all this kind of nonsense. And so, you know, Halperin is talking about this and rather casually observes that this is what the Obama campaign wants us to be, a campaign about nothing or about these silly little distraction issues. And that's what Tapper was talking about, where he says, look, you know, a lot of people are hurting out there. Unemployment is 8.3%. That doesn't take into account underemployed. He talks about the war in Afghanistan and the idea that there are some big issues that are not being, you know, a big factor in the day-to-day coverage of this presidential campaign. And that's the way the Obama campaign wants it. I think, look, people always refer to summer as the silly season. They talk about the conventions as kind of the kickoff of the official campaign. As we get into the fall, it's going to get tougher and tougher for the Obama campaign to keep the campaign about the silly stuff and not address these big issues. I'll give you just one of the best examples of this. I think one of the reasons that Tapper was talking to Laura Ingraham is that earlier, I guess it was late last week, President Obama found time to do interviews with People magazine, the hard-hitting journalistic institution that it is, and then a real tough grilling from Entertainment Tonight. Now, it's one thing to not answer questions from the press for a really long time, about 8 weeks or so since until Monday's press conference. And then the second thing is to then do the silly fluff interviews. And we've seen President Obama, you know, appearing on The View and appearing on every, you know, lighthearted, entertainment-minded program possible, while not always subjecting himself to tougher questions. Well, this really got under, you know, under the skin of Jake Tapper. And so he wrote this item on ABC News. It kind of, you know, it wasn't, you know, out of line, but just observed this and observed how the president has not taken questions from what you and I might consider, you know, what the mainstream media certainly considers to be real reporters, but certainly is finding time for these kinds of entertainment reporters and kind of suggesting how outrageous this is. That here we are 2.5 months away from an election. The president is hiding from the press. That piece, I believe, spurred Monday's press conference. And this is when Obama says, oh, nobody in my, you know, I don't think we're accusing Mitt Romney of being a felon. When, of course, literally his, you know, deputy campaign manager made exactly that charge.
Right.
Suggesting that Obama is wildly out of touch here. So I think pockets of the media, look, they're never going to be covering the president the way you or I might like to see them do it. But the frustration is building. And I think we will see more and more eruptions of this. And more open acknowledgments of the liberal bias or the pro-Obama bias of a great number of folks in the press from folks like Tapper and Halperin. And this can only be good news for us.
Well, then I'm going to take it as a very good martini. I'm going to take that as very good news to go with that very good martini. So well done. Well played there, Mr. Garrity. I appreciate that breakdown. Let's move on to a very bad martini. This thing is like a lingering bad taste. I don't know how to quite approach this particularly ugly, very bad, lingering, it won't go away like a terrible hangover martini. And that would be the saga of Todd Akin in Missouri. He, sticking it out, hanging out in the campaign still in the state of Missouri. Your colleague, Jonah Goldberg, had this to say about Todd Akin sticking around.
Hannity asked him on this radio show, he said, has anybody asked you to stay in? And he said, no, but, you know, and flammed on. I mean,
what's going on here? This is very bad, and it's getting worse.
Brett, this is the Bad Martini Monday. It was Crazy Martini Monday, Bad Martini yesterday. And it's probably a good prospect to be the Bad Martini for the rest of the week, because Todd Akin, you know, he makes the comment that, you know, the first comment was suggested he's really, really, really terribly misinformed about what's supposed to be his bread and butter issue, abortion. And then, of course, it exacerbates it by one Republican after another saying that, you know, really, you've damaged your cause, you've damaged your candidacy, the Republicans, you're endangering the chances of taking over the Senate in 2012. You really probably should contemplate withdrawing. And then hour by hour, the nudges and suggestions and throat clearing get louder and louder from folks like the NRSC and Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan and all these other folks. But then, you know, folks like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and Michelle Malkin, none of these folks, you know, remember, sometimes you get into these fights that are considered, you know, the rhino establishment in D.C. and then the authentic grassroots conservatives outside the Beltway. Well, they're all on the same side in this one. It's everybody against Akin. So how does Akin respond to this? He starts tweeting, look, I need you to help me stand up to the liberal elites. The liberal elites are the only people who want to stay in the race. Are you kidding? Rush Limbaugh is a liberal elite. Sean Hannity is a liberal elite. I thought he was just terribly dangerously misinformed. You listen to that Hannity interview, you listen to these subsequent interviews since this, I think Akin is not really connected to reality. I think he sees himself as the hero of his own little story, and that the world is against him, but he's going to triumph over this. He was totally fooled by the public policy polling survey, which had him up by one. Right. A ludicrous, unrealistic sample in that one. And so this guy is just delusional. And now it's a question of what options are there before the parties. You know, can they, try to get somebody to write a run-in as a candidate, do a Murkowski type maneuver? Is there, how bad is the Libertarian in that race? You know, I mean, all kinds of options. What can we do? And as I said on Twitter yesterday, Brett, I'm glad I don't live in Missouri, because McCaskill's got to go. This is a down the line Obama supporting liberal Democrat who likes to pose as a centrist and is never there. Always falls in line when the party needs her. But I don't think Akin is really in touch with the world as it exists. He's living in his own little dream world. And, Brad, I don't know, but you have a very tough time with that, even up against somebody like McCaskill. So the party needs to find some other option besides Akin. And I must say, Brad, I did start researching yesterday. If a candidate were to disappear, what is the procedure for that? I'm not saying come to any harm. I'm just saying to disappear until the general election. The law is not really clear. I'm just asking for a friend.
We can't find him. We don't know where he went. I'm sorry. I don't know where he is. He's not here. I keep getting voicemails.
To an undisclosed location. What is the procedure for that? So we will see what happens, but the party needs a better solution really fast.
It underscores why exactly it is the crazy martini for the second day. In a row. Let's move. I'm sorry. The bad martini. This is the crazy martini. I got the crazy martini. See, I'm all discombobulated because I'm drowning in Akin insanity, and now I got the crazy martini coming here, and it sounds to me, Jim Garrity, like a very, very expensive crazy martini, but yet no way to justify. What is that sound I hear in the background? Is that the sound of coin? Oh, yeah.
That is the sound of our money, and perhaps we should add a little flushing noise to that as well. Brett, so here's the circumstance. It was reported in the Washington Times this morning. The Labor Department has paid out roughly $495,000 to a public relations firm. The aim of it was to, quote, raise awareness among employers about the Green Training Job Corps training initiatives in high growth and environmentally friendly career areas. In other words, come apply for green jobs. Now, is this something government, you know, you and I can dispute whether or not this is something government should do at all. I think we can safely say that if they are, they should look for the very best deal they can and the most, you know, cost-effective way of advertising that there are jobs available. And they spent $495,000. And so among them were two approved spots airing 14 times a week for 2 months on Countdown with Keith Olbermann and the Rachel Maddow Show. Now, two programs on MSNBC. The number of viewers for that show certainly, I know, are lower than Fox News Channel, for example, during the same time slots. As we all know, Keith Olbermann is no longer hosting his program. His countdown has counted down to zero, I suppose, because he at one point I think he said that the head of MSNBC thinks he's my boss. Brett, I'm not the most experienced worker in the world, but I think it's a bad idea to tell your boss that he thinks he's his boss when he actually is your boss. Then he went to Current, and of course, Olbermann then, you know, flipped out and alienated so many people at Current that Current ended up cutting ties with him. But as a bigger question is, so if you want to attract someone to work in a green training job, Brett, is there a reason to believe that you'll find them watching Maddow and Olbermann?
No.
Opposed to any other channel, it's one of those things where I'd be open to the argument that, you know, oh yeah, the people we want to hire are here, but it just looks like the Labor Department looking to help out friendly media. And, do people who'd be good for these jobs, they watch ESPN, you know, they watch other, you know, certainly there are other shows with much higher audiences in general.
Sure.
There's nothing I've seen, and there's nothing in this article indicating that this demographic of this program would be more likely to be attracted to these jobs. So roughly $500,000 of our money down the drain, flush to provide advertising revenue for Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann.
Well, listen, that is certainly a disappointing, though not surprising, turn of events here with this administration, the stimulus money, the Department of Labor, you name it. I am shocked that there is patronage going on at MSNBC. Well, listen, I'm feeling a little woozy. I'm feeling like I need to saunter back to the office here, kind of walk it off, get some fresh air. It's been an amazing little run of martinis here. We had the very good martini where we got the truth about the what the media really thinks and how they're falling down on the job. We've got the bad. We've got Aiken sticking around, not going away. And the crazy, which was MSNBC getting green jobs funding from the Department of Labor. Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, what do you say we get together again and do it tomorrow? I'm sure it's going to be a fascinating journey into three martini lunch land.
Absolutely, Brett. I don't know about you, but I find after each day, I find myself needing three actual martinis after each taping.
I'm starting with three, and then I'm ending it with three. You know what I'm saying, man? We got to be prepared for this stuff. It's going to be a crazy run. I am Brett Winterble. I'm in for Greg Corumbus here at Radio America. That is Jim Garrity from National Review Online. This is the Three Martini Lunch. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
If you say so, I'll have to pack my things.